Lost and I didn't.
Oh,
well. Alrighty, so let's continue with from yesterday. So we had a question. According to Yehuda holds that tekiyah, true tekiyah is one mitzvah, which means when the Torah said, modified the Yom Teruah by demanding tekiyahs on both sides, it's not just saying you chayev to also blow tekiyahs, but it's telling you that the maisa of blowing a teruah is a maisa of tekiyah, true tekiyah. It's a maisa which where you begin with a blast and you segue into the teruah and then you end with a blast. So it's sekatem teruah. It's like a type of a blasting. It's a blast which goes shaky in the middle, right? And therefore it's one call, counts as one, and can't have any hefsek, because then it's not the one entity. The entity is tekiyah, true tekiyah. If you make a hefsek for a minute in between, that's not any tekiyah, there's no such thing as just tekiyah. Okay, within that, you have Machlokas Rishonim, Rashi Tosvos, Rashi Ramban, whether or not that means you have to do it in one breath, or it's sufficient, you're allowed to breathe. Or you're allowed to breathe, but only a breath, that's it. Okay, the Rashi says that you can't have any hefsek, because the Gemara says you can't aim to tekiyah lo klum. There's nothing between them. So Rashi somehow interjects, oh, but except for a breath. Whereas the Ramban says, no. It says lo klum, nothing. Nothing means nothing. No breath even. So we don't know what's the machlokas for that. Okay, will a breath be like after? I ask you again, I think this is a good thing, similar to what we did yesterday. So what's the question? Okay, what are they arguing about? What is the question here? Without giving the svaras, but what's the question? What do they agree upon, and where does the question come from? One way to look at the question is how do you define a hefsek here? Right? Okay, can anyone think of a different way to look at the question? I mean, I think there's a more simple, direct way to look at it. You could look at it that way, but I think there's a more simple, direct way. Right? I think Yonah says, like, what is the one maisa? Right? His idea is that the Rebbe's idea is that tekiyah is one action. It's one call. So hefsek is like a description. It means it breaks the thing. It's a hefsek, it breaks it. But that's not the underlying reality here, is not what is a hefsek. It's what is one maisa mean? What's the tziruf? What binds one maisa? And based on that, X will be a tziruf, breathing will or won't be a tziruf, will or won't be a hafsek. I mean, but the primary reality isn't hafsek. There's no like zeres hakasav or a pasuk or something, like a halachic entity called a hafsek. And they're trying to define, what does a hafsek mean? Right? Rather, the hafsek is like a description. It means it breaks apart the unification of the action. There's a demand for unification, and a hafsek is something which breaks that unification. And depending on how you understand that unification, you will or won't have a hafsek. Right? I mean, I don't know. I mean, in theory, you could say this by any hafsek. I don't know. Maybe there are certain times where hafsek actually means a hafsek, like it's an institution called a hafsek. But what I'm saying is, at least in this context, it seems like the question is more, what's the maisa? What does it mean it's one maisa? And could you still say it's one maisa if you have breathing in between? So, well, what do you mean by one maisa exactly? How do you define something as one maisa? So, and the hefsek is going to pop, you know, come along as a byproduct. So, I mean, I think this is important. This is an interesting point in methodology. It's like, I'm sure I haven't really made this point before, I don't think. But I think it's a good, you know, sometimes we have the different good, like, questions to lead you to a svara. Sometimes you ask, what's the easier side, or what's the, you know? Like, oftentimes, sometimes you could figure out what is the question without knowing the sides, you know what I mean? What's the way? And there's not necessarily only one answer to that, what is the question. But at least it kind of gives you a direction towards your thinking. And then you could say, you could raise this as a question. Maybe the question is, what's hafsek? Maybe the question is, no, that's not a good question, but what's tziruf? I'm saying it's like a good way to approach a svara is, instead of starting to try to figure out the machlokas, well, what are they even arguing about before we get into what are the sides? You know what I mean? Because the sides only mean something in the kind of their answers to a question which they're both going to ask. You know? That's just like an example. It's like a mechitza is a mafsek. The Torah created a mechitza, a wall, divides between two different rishuyas, two different domains. So the Torah posited an entity of a mafsek. in the wall. Now you can ask all kinds of questions. Well, what kind of wall? How tall is the wall? What material is the wall? If it has gaps in the wall, there's a halachic entity, a primary halachic entity called a mechitza, and it's an offset. Right, the Torah posited is definitely an institution called mechitza. So, right, Allah Shem Sinai, whatever it is. But I don't think it's saying the Torah created a halachic institution called a hefsek. And a hefsek is created an institution called Kriya Shema, called Tehillat Shofar, called Shemot Tefillah, called whatever. And now a hefsek just means you don't have the activity. you're not doing Kriya Shema because if there's a hefsek, it's not a unified Kriya Shema. It's not the midst of Kriya Shema. It's a Kriya Shema. It's to read the whole parsha Kriya Shema. If there's a hefsek, it's not Kriya Shema. Or it isn't. So sugya, a question about hefsek. I don't know every question about hefsek, but it seems I can't think of an example. Mechitza is an example, like the Torah posited an institution called that. You know what I mean? And that's why it's more universal. But hefsek, it's always every sugya is a little bit different. Is this hefsek in tefillah? It's different in Kriya Shema hefsek. They're always different because I think it's not. There's no entity called a hefsek. It's an entity called a mitzvah, and mitzvah has to be an entity, a unified entity. And now, depending on what the nature of the unification is of the particular activity, a particular mitzvah, whatever it is, you're going to say this will be a hafzik, this won't be a hafzik. Right? Like I say, like a relative isn't a substance in categories. It's not a substance in its own right. Rather, it's a relative. Its existence is relative to something. Hafzik in what? You can't say, here's a hafzik. There's no such thing as a hafzik. What does that mean? A gap. You can't have, there's no such thing as a gap. There's no, what's a gap? A gap between two things. You can't talk about a gap. There's no one's ever seen a gap. There's a gap in something. A gap is related to that which it's a gap in. You know what I mean? But a mechitza is a wall. I mean, you could define the substance. You could define a mechitza as a substance. I mean, although it has a function of separating, but the Torah set up a substantial definition of what a mechitza is. But a hefsek, I don't think, is a substance. A hefsek is... It's a relative. It's relative to an activity. So the definition is not about hefsek. It's going to be about the activity. And what? It's a lack of, right?
It's like a donut hole.
You're right. Exactly. So if you learn that a hefsek is a positive thing, then you could say, oh, so is air breathing? Is that a positive of a mafsek or something? You know, you could have looked at it that way. But if you look at a hefsek as not a positive thing, but as simply like a description, and the real thing is the activity, you know, what is the activity? So now I think your focus should be, what is the unification of the activity, and does breathing interrupt that unification or not, which we have to define. But now we're already propelled into a direction which kind of sounds like the way to go. All
right.
You know what I mean? Without even having a svara yet. I mean, we don't have any svaras yet. We're just... It's a kind of the asking the right question is sometimes this is the major step in the svara. It's pinpointing what is the issue, especially certain sugyas are very complicated. What is the bottom line? What are they bothered by? What are they dealing with? What's the to clarify and sometimes get through a lot of complications in order to get down to the underlying core issue.
So
thought is like that in general, I think. You know, thinking about life, about philosophy, about science, about anything. I mean, there's always a million different factors, and you kind of have to try to get to the core of the issue. What's really going on here? That people can be talking about, what's the bottom line? Let's get it down, to boil it down. We get rid of all the accidental details and get down to what's the fundamental underlying concept. It's true, there's a lot of good, a lot of svaras is outruling false impressions that you have. A lot of learning is unlearning, because you kind of naturally always have an intuition about everything. Your mind is presumptuous, and you kind of assume blah, whatever it is. And usually that's wrong. Almost, from my experience, 99% of the time, your initial feeling about a sugya is wrong. You know, but you don't know that. You don't even know that you have an initial feeling about a sugya. You know? And when you start thinking about it, you start realizing, uncovering the layers, and start realizing, well, how are you approaching it, what are you thinking about it? And a lot of it you have to unlearn and figure out what it's not. And then that's kind of how you get this far, what it is. And that's why questions are important. Good questions show you that you can't think about it this way. The questions emerge from a false way of looking at the thing. That's why they're problems. It's a major problem because I have a certain assumption about the sugya. And since I have this assumption that the sugya was working in such a way, I have a major problem. But questions force you to give up bad assumptions. And they kind of direct you, oh, it must be because of this crazy problem. It must be this is the right way to look at it, not that. So it kind of directs you. Good questions help direct you. They rule those false possibilities and direct you towards... towards a proper way to look at it. Good. So Chaim said the simplest way is to say, what does it mean one action? Tekiah is a type of blowing. So you take one, right? That's a blowing shofar. So the idea of one action means one blowing. And once you take a breath, that's a new action, right? In the framework of blowing, the action of blowing is exhaling with an instrument in your mouth or whatever. So once you stop the thing, it's not one action anymore. Yeah, it's uninterrupted. If you interrupt it, it's two blowings. It's not one blowing. What does it mean? Two blowings, three blowings, four blowings. It means you stop and you breathe and you blow another one. That's what does it mean? One blowing. So maisa of tekiah, one maisa means one blowing, right? That's the simplest argument. That's Rabban's argument. Right, if you have a breathe, then it's not one mice anymore. You had a breathe, you couldn't control it. Okay, whatever. Well, the bottom line is, you breathe. You took an action of blowing. So it's true, you may need to, but you are. Okay, fine, so you need to. So what's the Rashi going to respond? Okay, so I think the guys are saying something like this, elaborating, so that according to Rashi, it's one action. But the nature of the action is like, it's like producing music. It's like a song, so to speak. So it's the tekiah, true tekiah song. Okay? Like for instance, if you sing a song and you take a breath in the middle, would you say that it's one action of singing a song? Yeah, right? Because that's the nature of a song, that's the nature of music. Or if you're playing a song with a trumpet, you know? So you have a song and you breathe in between the different notes or whatever, right? Or whatever they call them, the trumpets, right? The blowings. So you say it's one action of playing the song? So sure. Right? You're breathing. Right? You're breathing. But it doesn't matter. See, because the action of playing music, there's a phenomenon of a tziruf of music. There's like a musical song, melody, whatever words you want to use, but instrumental, whatever they call them, right? Can you call it a song when it's just music? No words? I don't know. Whatever. Now, what do you call it then?
Piece.
Okay, musical piece. Okay? Sat. Piece. It's a piece. So the idea is that it's a piece, a musical piece. So tekiah, true tekiah. Right? So it's one activity of creating the musical piece, creating the unit of true tekiah, true tekiah. Or do you say it's one maisa? See, the maisa you could look at it as like creating music, or you could look at it as blowing. It's a mice of blowing. The framework of blowing is three mice. If you take three breaths, one breath is one mice, three breaths, three mice. There's three separate blowings. So it's like the action of the tekiah, the action of blowing shofar could be looked at as like a mechanical action. Mechanically, it's an action of blowing and breathing and exhaling with shofar in your mouth. But like in a more abstract sense, it's an action of producing music, producing a song, producing a piece, right? And the difference is in the framework of the action of blowing, the mechanical action, you can't look at it as one action, it's three actions. Okay, they may be nice music, whatever, but the action is an action of blowing, and it's three blowings. But or do you say that the action of shofar is not an action of blowing? It's true, that's the mechanical thing that you're doing, but it's really an action of producing music. And in the framework of music, you're saying there's a musical thing called tekiah, true tekiah. Now, if you take a break of a minute in between, it's not a good piece. It's a, you know, what kind of piece is that? But as long as you just breathe, the minimum amount, that's the way songs work, is you do it, and then you breathe, and then you keep going, and you breathe, right? And you can't take a break where that will stop the song, stop the piece. But part of pieces, they're extent. They have extent, and a person can't breathe forever and can't hold their breath forever. So it's just the nature of a piece is that it has little gaps in between, just a matter of breathing. But it's still one action. So the question is the Torah and Tekiah Shofar recognizing the, so to speak, abstract phenomenon of the action of producing music. Or do you say that it's true, it's music, but the action of Tekiah Shofar is not playing music, producing music, it's an action of blowing the shofar. And this sound, the music, is a result, but it's not the nature of the action. The action is the maisa of tekiah, and it's one maisa of tekiah, true tekiah, so that's being one breath. So that's that, right? Okay, so now we have the next question is, the Ran, right? The next question about what happens? Why we're worried about Tashrat, right? Like Tashrat, why are we worried if you have, let's say you say you're blowing Tashrat, Tekiah Shram Teruah Tekiah, and if the real deal is Tashrat, then you have an intervening Teruah in the middle of the process. So that's going to be a problem. We have an intervening teruah. We have some. So look at the question that the dealer shall deal with is, who cares about Hasek? Right, so I'm reading in the Ran on Yerim Abayis in the paragraph Maskev. He says, V'im tomar v'chi matzik yimai have, who cares? V'atani v'sam v'sham v'tesh v'tia v'tesh 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 v'tesh. Right, so we all, you can hear a shofar that sounds all throughout the day. There's no problem with Hafsik. Right? You don't hold by the Hafsik problem. And even the one who is worried about Hafsik is just, the Hafsik is if you wait as long as it takes to finish the activity. But just to have a little truah in between, big deal. It's a second, they're not even waiting. There's no Hafsik problem. So what's the issue? So, Tirtzur Shemir Natan, Dalchi Parchina. The Kimder of Avo Chayish Lekulu Kulu. Umachlof a kulu menhagi either a haygonzal kumash exati l'may Allah have el mecha shlami the Rebbeuda tamar imen tkiv zero zero v'lokon kedisha berkachal. So you said earlier that what Rebbe Haigon wanted to do is that according to Rebbe Haigon, this, we haven't really gone into this, but Rebbe Haigon holds that really that all the sounds are really good. Any one sound will suffice for shofar. You could do anything shrarim trua shrarim trua, who cares? So it all works. But people thought that different towns are different things, and they thought there was a big machlokas, and that people thought, hey, this guy's not yotzei the mitzvah, and it was like, he didn't like that. So to unify everything, he basically said, everyone does all that. Okay? So now the saying is that there's also a position of Rebbe Yehuda, and people are going to think that you're not yotzei according to Rebbe Yehuda, because Rebbe Yehuda says do it and you can't have any hafsek. So therefore he's saying, part of what Rebbe's takana, which he set up, is he wanted to make it clear that he yotzei even according to Rebbe Yehuda. Right? That's what he says. Right. Even to make not because people were actually trying to be yotzei according to Rebbe Yehuda, didn't hold like Rebbe Yehuda, but people are going to think that the know she is Rebbe Yehuda, and they'll say, "I yotzei according to him." So basically, part of Rosa's setup is to make it clear that to make it even yotzei according to Rebbe Yehuda. So what they're saying is, if you're according to Rebbe Yehuda, if the real deal is tashat and you're blowing tashrat, then say it's an yotzei. Of course, in the framework that what people think, in reality, it doesn't really matter because yotzei is anything, but it's all based on what people think. Okay? The Ramban rejects this. He in the Machanas, he talks down against this. He says, well, you're worried that people are going to think this and people are going to think that. I mean, it's a whole world of non-realities of based on what people are going to think. I mean, well, who have ever heard of such a thing? I mean, just go by what the reality is, not by what everyone's going to think. Okay, fine. So, well, but the point is, right, he says, "Oh, the Rabban Nami, nay, the Shema Tishkei Shem Yatzah, but the Eved Al Chilav Adem Hashma Shein Rosh Hashanah." Yeah, give me one second. But he says, and also, even according to the Rabbanan, who say there's no problem with Hafsek, they say that's true, but L'Chad Chila, you shouldn't do Hafsek. You shouldn't on purpose do Hafsek. So it's true. They say it works, but you're not supposed to. So therefore, by you, Ravo setting up the takana, so he's saying, don't set it up tashrat because you're setting up with the hafzik. So you say, yeah, it's true. Bottom line is it will work if you do hafzik, but it's not the way to set the thing up. Set it up in a way where you're not going to have any hafziks. Right? So the Rashba didn't like this. The Rashba says, is now that even according to Rabbanon, you're not allowed to have a hafzik, but here, you're not willfully having a hafzik. It's because you want to do the mitzvah. So he says that wouldn't be a problem. Maybe we can take that. I'm not sure. We can see. But let's leave that for now. Okay, yeah, Mara's question. But the punchline is, according to Rabbi Natan, that if you did do it, right, if you blew Tekiah Shvaran Shuvah Tekiah, and the real deal was Shvaran, then it wouldn't be Hafsek, and there'd be no problem. There'd be no problem whatsoever. The Diyav, it would work. You'd be able to the mitzvah. Really, if you did Tashrat, you'd be able to according to everybody. Because if it's Tashrat, you believe Tashrat. If it's Tashat, who cares? It's not a Hafsek. If it's Tashat, then it's Tarat. Then the Shram is not a Hafsek, so who cares? It'll be able to take one to everybody. Right? That's what Rebbe Natan holds. And according to Rebbe Natan also, if you blow Tkiya, Trua, 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 Tkiya, it's fine. Look, all the middle Truas you can ignore. But whatever. They're not a Hafsek. There's no problem with Hafsek. Right. He just says, interesting. All his only problem is Hafsek, and he says, the weed hold there's no problem with Hafsek, therefore there's no problem. Okay. But the Ramban says, he says, "Av Ramban Kosav is all the Kosav. The Ramban Nami Imaski Shvarim Yevavos Ben Tkiyah Truah Lo Yatza. If you have a hefsek of Shvarim or Truahs in between these things, then you're not Yotzei. Bnei the Mitzik Bneiham Yatza. It's true you're allowed to have hefsek. Afilu Hamachachi Im Taga Bneiham Lo Yatza. You can take a break between them, but you can't blow in between them. Danab Shudolf Nevshalach Rabbeinon. But like, because we need to have a tkiyah before the truah and a tkiyah afterwards, and now you don't have it. Now you have what's before your truah, another truah. It's not tekiah, it's tekiah before and after. Because you blew another tekiah for the purposes of another sound for the purpose of mitzvah. It's one thing if you want to go play baseball in between them, fine, but you have tekiah, shvara tekiah, and you have lots of gaps or whatever. But here you don't. You have tekiah, shvarim, shvara tekiah, right? Which is another sound for mitzvah. Right? Fine. That's the basic question. Okay, so according to the Ramban, he's saying is that that's not a, that's a, you know, that you, even though there's no problem with a hefsek, if you have a sound in between, that would be a hefsek. So not a hefsek, it's not halachically a hefsek problem, but it's you don't have the proper order, because you're supposed to have tekiah shvara tekiah, and you don't have that, you have tekiah shvara and shvara tekiah. Right? Right. I mean, Yehuda asks a good point. He says, like, but shvarim isn't a sound according to that side. According to the side, it's a tekiah, so shvarim is not a thing. But the Ramban is somehow addressing that because you're doing it l'shem mitzvah. So you're trying to do it. You're trying to blow the thing l'shem mitzvah. So you can't, somehow that will intervene. But the Ramban Tam doesn't bother by this problem, apparently. He says, you have to have an order, tekiah, tekiah, tekiah. Yeah, so just ignore the shvarim, and you got. So the question is, what's the machlokas? Anyway, another machlokas would be if you do tekiah, trua, trua, tekiah. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's fine because you ignore the middle to one of the truas and you got tekiah, trua, tekiah. According to the Ramban, you don't have anything because you blew tekiah, trua. You're supposed to do tekiah, now you did tekiah. But now neither of your truas has a tekiah before it and after it. So that's all you'd have according to the Ramban. What would you have according to the Ramban?
Nothing. Well,
not quite.
True.
You'd have, no, not quite?
I mean, if you have tekiah.
Tekiah, you'd have your last tekiah. The one last tekiah. Then you'd be able to use the one that the last one.
What would happen?
Okay, so why don't we leave this question, and then so let me just elaborate on the other question, which I kind of skipped over. But the question is that according to Rabbeinu Tam, he says, he says that according to the Rabbanan, Rabbeinu Tam's answer is, remember, the question is that why is Rav Avohu setting up Tashrat and Tashat and Tarat, right? Why don't you just do Tashrat? And that will count for your Shvarim also, because you have Tekiah, Shvarim, Tekiah, right? So he says it'll be Hafsek. So he says, yeah, but what do you mean? But we don't care about Hafsek, Rabbeinu Tam says. So he answers, he says, no. That, yeah, it's true, it won't be asked, but still it's not right. You should, it halachically won't disqualify the thing. But you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to have a gap in the middle. Right? So the question is, why not? Why am I supposed to? It doesn't disqualify. It's not, you know, what kind of thing is that? And that's the Rana Tam. But the Rashba says, he says he agrees with that premise, and you're not supposed to have a gap. But he says, here, you're doing it for the mitzvah. You're not just Tom just sitting around and playing baseball. You're blowing Tashrat because this way you get everything in. So he says that's not a problem. Even in that problem of not supposed to make a gap, that's not a problem. The machlok is assuming that according to the Rabban, would you be allowed to do that? To just blow Tashrat and straight away and say that'll be absent. Would that be a violation of this thing you're not supposed to make absent? You can look at the Rashba, the way formulates it. But that's the machlok is made at the time of the Rashba. And perhaps there's that other question which maybe we could take that up. That thing with Chaim was talking about, but I think that should keep us busy for at least for Monday.